David. Football. Football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Go subscribe, rate, comment, share, do it all. Do it on Stitcher, do it on iTunes, do it wherever it's available for you. We appreciate you doing that. Welcome to it. Hit the whistle, Emma VP behind the glass. It's a special day. Really? Yes.
Happy New Year.
All right. Yeah. Yes, really capturing all the energy, all the electricity that is the start of NFL free agency. Just literally moments ago, just a few seconds ago, it kicked off, and therefore we kick off the new episode of the DDFP, and we are joined in Studio 66, first of all, by the guy seated to my immediate left. He has a new theme song. Do we dare even play it, or do we risk missing more breaking news like Brock Osweiler getting traded from the Texans to the Cleveland Browns? Along with a second-round draft pick, eat your heart out, NBA GMs who like salary dumping, expiring contracts, and all that. It's a new world order here in pro football. It's Patrick Claibon. That's the guy who I was talking about there.
Hey, Dave.
Hello, Patrick Claibon. I want enthusiasm from you, pal.
Hey, Dave. It's the new year.
We got a lot to kibitz about.
We have trades.
Here. Yes, we do. And seated to my immediate right, back in Studio 66. Here she is, everybody. It's Cynthia Freeland. Wait, while we're jumping in on her theme music, are we? All right.
It's Marianne's daughter here to steal the show. Back in the day, she had a mullet with a funky flow. Running marathons for her fitness goals. On the DDFP, she got the stat control. Cause when it comes to the numbers, she's a gunslinger. She do the math in her head, she don't count fingers. No one to question the numbers, surely waste to you. She's from Michigan, yo, it's Cynthia.
Breaking news, Cynthia Freeland, DeAndre Levy is no longer a member of the Detroit Lions.
Levy.
I always say Levy.
No, because they break the. I get it. There's a lot of. You can make a lot of good, you know. Levy breaks.
Breaking.
You know?
Yeah. He's broken.
He didn't play for most of last season.
Right. So anyway, how are you, Freeland? Excited?
I mean, I cannot. This is the best day for Twitter. This might be the only day that I actually like love Twitter.
Let's dig into all of it. But before we do that, let me introduce you to the new theme song in case you've not heard it, Cynthia. Cindy. Here it is, Patrick Claibon by the one-man house band Dick Banks.
He's that guy who hosts the show up to the minute. Every dream he has at night has Jack Bauer in it.
If he takes, then he'll give his. The arm takes men, yeah, strikes again. Star Wars movies, get him lit. What's that movie you were in? Nobody heard of it.
The most handsome man Dave has on.
That's true.
He's Patrick.
All right, that's enough.
He's Patrick Claibon.
We have too much to get to.
It's just such a jam.
It is.
It really is swell.
Did you hear that at Coachella?
And I don't think that's jive either. You are the most handsome guy that comes in.
Don't tell Handsome Hank. His name has the word handsome in it.
I know. Yeah. We've discussed it. What's done is done. Listen, I didn't do this.
You know? But you did, though.
Mother Nature and Father Time combined. They made their love, and Patrick Claibon was their spawn.
Shout out to Dr. Ernest and Patience.
Hey, before we dig in on pro football, I paid a visit to Adam Carolla and company over at the Adam Carolla Show on Wednesday. That's now up there for you. If you go to adamcarolla.com,
awesome.
You'll find it. It was, I think it was 75-ish minutes of us. Hot, you know, up-to-the-minute talk about things like the movie Face Off. We really dug in deep on that because America was waiting for us to break down Cobra again, and so we did that. We talked about this, that, and the other. Go check that one out. Great times always.
Great for a run.
I'm going to be going in there a couple times a month now that we've reached the off season. So I'll start getting back in there on a more regular basis. Thanks for all the feedback on that. But all right, give us MVP one last time. Give us the sound effect here. So that we know you're just going to interrupt us when anything happens. Don't hesitate to hit that drop. Are we always going to get that beat of silence before we get it? All right.
I think it encapsulates the moment.
What is it?
It's a pregnant pause.
Yeah, it's like, wrapped in a velvety pause.
Well, hit it now. You got a new one right there. I know that.
Yes. Alshon Jeffrey to the Eagles. 1 year deal, $14 million.
1 year deal.
There are a lot of people.
That's a bit of confidence.
There are a lot of people on the Big Blue Marble that have two first names, but Alshon Jeffrey distinguishes himself as having the only surname as his first name and a first name as his surname. That's really good. More importantly to Eagles fans, what does Alshon Jeffrey's arrival mean to Carson Wentz and company? I start with you, Cindy.
Long, meaning he's tall. He's a great route runner. He's not as much of a yards after the catch guy. Now, that could be a little chicken, a little egg from the past in terms of who's been throwing him the ball before. But to me, he's shown himself to be a great route runner. He creates separation, you know, outside guy. Good outside guy. Eagles needed an outside guy.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not ready yet. I know most people are, and maybe that's because I'm not a diehard Eagles fan, but I give a little more rope to Nelson Agholor. If you can drop him to
sure.
work in the slot and everything, I mean, I think he still has some value
potentially.
You won't
see Alshon in the slot very well, maybe, but
right.
You know, I wouldn't.
Yeah, there's just not, you know, right. But the Rams, we can get in. Well, we're going to get into all of it. But the Rams, too, why weren't they in on Alshon Jeffrey? Of all they did go get the left tackle. But anyway, let's react to Alshon Jeffrey first. This is a very difficult show for Dave to do because Dave is a scatterbrain. And when you start
this
pulling
should be a
my
great
brain
show for you. It's like
in
all,
a thousand different directions.
This show shouldn't have a focus. It should be, this is happening.
You're right. React to Alshon Jeffrey. What's it mean, Clava?
I think for Philadelphia, they get what they wanted out of Doriel Green Beckham. They get it in a guy that we know can do it. And like Cynthia was saying, it's 1 year. So it's not like this huge commitment to Alshon. But we know for a fact that Alshon is able to have, to even as a large person, get some separation.
Yep.
He can make plays on the ball. And that's something that you would like for your young quarterback to have.
Off the cuff, rank the wide receivers of the NFC East. Go, Cindy.
Odell Beckham.
Odell 1. Dez 2. You now have Brandon Marshall.
So you have, like, 1A. I think Dez is great. Dez in the end zone, that's just beautiful. So 1, 2, I guess. Number 3, Brandon Marshall. I think he's still great. it's hard for me. I guess Alshon after that. It's difficult for me to – Well, who we got in Washington?
Well, I don't
know.
You know, well, you think about D.C., and I guess what's interesting about that
is the Cowboys there.
You know, the Cowboys have taken some law. I assume Morris Claiborne's not going to be back there. That's not the end of the world, although they did a number of years ago, you know, do a lot to get Morris
Claiborne. Sterling Shepard.
How about that?
I'm just trying to give Washington a little love here, and I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, they are going to resume their position as the cellar dweller, I would assume. You know, it's been a mess there the last few weeks in D.C. So, and I think Philadelphia continues its rise. I know it fell off a little bit with Carson Wentz in the second half of the season. I think they rise up a little bit further. I think
different.
The Giants ain't jive, and I think the Cowboys, in spite of a couple losses there, then they also lose Barry Church off the back end, and we're just getting going here. But maybe Jalen Smith gives them something. What? Here we go.
All right. So we kind of heard rumors going on for a while. It's AJ Boye to Jackson.
Boye.
Boye.
It's Boye.
No, it's Boye.
Boye.
Boye. Which is amazing.
So Ian Rappaport right now, he's coming in with some of the details of the deal.
Let's hear
it's
it
looking
for
like,
the boy.
5 years, $44 million over the first three of those years.
Good for AJ getting paid.
Good for him.
And do they keep
like
Jalen Ramsey out on the other
Jalen
corner?
Ramsey, they're a nasty defense.
The Jags continue to be a good paper team.
What's about the offense? We're not going to worry about that. Their defense is nasty.
Well, you know, it really does. I know that people said that last year, and let me say this. I said it 1 year ago, or I said it about 11 months ago, post-draft and post-big spending by the Jags. I said, listen, temper your wild optimism, Football America. You are one season premature. The 2017 Jaguars will in fact be the good team. I'm not making any predictions here now about where they will rank in the AFC South, let alone in the playoff chase. I do think that they get it right this year, though. I think that there were, and you know, when the defense is truly dominant, which I mean, how can this defense miss with the pieces that they're going to run out there now? That I mean, they're 9, 10, 11 deep defensively now, and Calais Campbell, is that a done deal yet or no?
I think that one's pretty done. I mean, I haven't seen a cross as completely done, but it was between Denver and the Jags, and I believe Jacksonville gave him more money.
I know Chris Harris Jr. is disparaging Calais, our pal Calais. We won't stand for it.
He's
Chris
great.
Harris,
hey,
another pal, DDFP.
Do the thing.
Alumni. Yes, go ahead.
I got one. Terrell Pryor.
Uh-oh.
Terrell Pryor.
All suspense.
Two.
Visiting the Redskins. It's not official.
Visiting. Got us with a visit, Cynthia.
Don't play games.
But I have to NFC East.
This ain't interesting. Your pencil. Take out your ink pen or shame the devil.
And Jabal Sheard is visiting the Dolphins. Oh, come on.
Got that Jabal Sheard visit in there.
Visits are pretty.
I do like when you can not only add to your team but take away from a division foe. That's what the Dolphins would be doing there. But I also think the Patriots. What kind of impact do you think? I guess Dwayne Allen and Martellus Bennett are a wash. True or false?
I'm going to go with false there.
Correct.
Now, who do you think's better?
Bennett.
Martellus Bennett is much better. Well, Dwayne Allen's hurt is his bugaboo. It's not that he's
– What is it? I hate – one of my, you know, the top 10 things I hate when people say, the best type of ability is availability, and it's true, right? So
I suppose.
I love Marty Bennett. They're both great
they're
football
both great.
Players. I would prefer
Martellus
to have
Bennett's
Martellus.
Better.
Shout out to my dude, Dwayne Allen.
Martellus Bennett block is like – Okay, got that. I just don't think it's not like a it's a not a knock on Dwayne Allen. It's
random question.
Yes.
Take a guess. Is Rob Gronkowski ever fit and playing 16 games again in the NFL? Cindy, I start with you.
So do we have to count the ones where he could sit at like the end of the season when they don't matter?
You know what I mean. You know.
Yeah,
what
no.
I'm getting.
I don't think he's gonna get hurt. I think we'll see a healthy.
You think he'll be
here.
Fine?
Yep.
I think that's a horrible bet to take with anybody in the NFL.
I guess.
I believe that Gronk can play.
I don't think it's like something that they're not telling us, like he's got this knee that's about to explode. I don't think it's like that.
Yeah.
Quick thoughts, and let's see how they stand up. The Jags defense, no matter what else, Blake Bortles never gets fixed. But again, you can get into human beings' heads and say, listen, for real, Blake, it's long enough now, man. This is the season. Just take care of the ball. That's it. Just don't turn the ball over. You know, that's not beyond the realm for a professional quarterback to minimize the number of turnovers. If you have a truly dominant defense.
Think about who's there now. Tom Coughlin. I think his impact is being felt already. We've seen these defensive moves. I mean, Tom Coughlin, defense, those two things go hand in hand, right? I also think, and in no way do I think, you know, I'm in no way likening Blake Bortles to Eli Manning, but I feel like Tom Coughlin could probably have some ideas on either who else to draft, or he probably coming in with a strategy to help make this kind of all gel together, because we did see good Blake Bortles at times 2 years ago and at times this year flashes, but
yeah, true enough. How say you, Claybon?
I think that Blake regressed last year, and he's obviously going to need to do some things better, but the way you look at this defense and the way it's constructed, it would be ideal to support the offense that they had when Blake was playing well.
Yep.
And so the question is, can he get back to that? I'm not going to close the door on him, but I would like to see Telvin Smith and these guys running around and Jalen Ramsey having this Marcus Peters type of season where he's able to take chances on the ball a little bit more when they've got Boye, who I discovered I've been saying his name wrong for
I only know because it was
months.
Like in our research packet, and I just
Boye.
But I think that's exciting because I think Jalen Ramsey could be one of the premier defensive players in the league.
Are you hitting it? Wait, did I just see
this
a signal that
real.
There's about to be a
– Oh, we have a thing?
Okay. Jaquizz Rodgers, Bucks.
All
right. Done.
All right. He had a good two or three-week run there.
Yeah. I don't think that's a bad one at all.
No.
Right?
Not bad at all.
We got to talk Adrian Peterson. The QB carousel is spinning. This might be the most captivating carousel that we've seen. I'll say this, though. The Jets now have vaulted the Browns as the saddest NFL team to root for because as of this recording.
Their colors are better.
What's that?
Their colors are better.
Well, the Browns pants still do say the word Browns on them, written ironically in orange. But either way, very strange. I do. I listen. The Browns have not – you've not heard word one from Hugh or anyone else saying, like, eh, maybe we'll dip our toe in the Jay Cutler waters there. You hear the Jets are doing that. That makes them officially a little sad.
You know where else I hear the Jets are dipping their toes? This is not confirmed. This is not anything. It's rumors. It is people that I trust rumors, not like Cynthia pulling things out of the air. It's people I trust rumors. But what about that Washington quarterback going to New York?
Kirk.
You liked it! Yeah.
You know what?
Personally, I do not like that.
I would love it.
But you don't like that?
No, it's fun. It's football. It's fun. I just the thing that jumps out at me that I've heard from Jets fans is this willingness to be like Master P in that famous video and just drive that tank out onto the court and just throw this whole season
away.
Like,
yes.
to get Sam Darnold.
You know what I feel like, though? What I you know, in spite of the Brock Osweiler acquisition, who they're apparently immediately waiving now, the Browns
right.
are. I feel like what they've developed, if nothing else, no matter whatever other kind of mess they may continue to have, I think we're at least I'm sensing from the lack of noise around the QBs that are out there and their lack of interest in them that they might be finally learning some discipline. Yes, ideally you would land your QB who's going to be there for the next 10 or 15 years. But if he ain't there, then don't reach to make somebody into that role if that guy's not capable of it. And to me, Kirk Cousins would get exposed. If you send him to Sam, well, he worked well with Kyle Shanahan. That's why that fit makes sense. But if you send him to the Jets, you know, with the pieces they have, are you going to be excited? Kirk Cousins is going to regress and be Kirk Cousins.
I thought we would see something cool if we saw the Hoyer and Cousers, the Cousins and Hoyer reunite, you know, Michigan State people playing for Shanahan. I don't know. It's just a better storyline to me if I was going to create a good storyline.
Well, talk about that a lot. NFL, like anything else, involves human beings. It's like most other careers. Yes, it is. Those jobs are filled by people, and people who have worked together well in the past return to that. That's why Kyle Shanahan is interested in getting Kirk Cousins. We'll see if it happens.
You said something earlier about why didn't the Rams have any interest in Alshon Jeffrey. My very unsophisticated take on this is that I don't believe Alshon Jeffrey wanted to play for less than $14 million, $15 million. And if you kind of stack up like where the cap is and where their needs are, if you're going to get that highly paid wide receiver, it would probably be acquired through trade.
But
I just don't think they have the.
How long is the Robert Woods deal for, though? Because then it's a matter of years, not
like five,
dollar figure right. annually, because they're paying Robert Woods $15 million annually for $39 million and $15 million.
But remember, there's like all these tricks. Like cap is an accounting metric. You know, payment is different. Like there are two different things. It's not like you say your salary is $15 million a year. We're paying you all 15 this year. It's not one for one like that. There's a strategy around cap and amortization of someone's paycheck.
I don't like when people take my sports and turn them into math equations. It makes it very difficult.
Then you must hate me.
I don't get it. It's just over my head.
It's a real disadvantage.
I'm bad at math. So
that's
it makes
what
me
I'm here
feel
for.
Like
and that's, and that's why we have Cynthia for people
that's
like,
right.
like so, us, Dave, who hear numbers and start going,
I know. I don't understand.
So
yes.
Rule of thumb. If you see like these smaller 1 year things, it means you've got some cap space. So you see like the Eagles that I think they just signed another 1 year deal with a guard.
Wait a second. If we're going to
do it,
let's do it properly.
Do
we have her, visor so she can synthesize it? Synthesize it. This is great. Impromptu. Synthesize free agency and you know what it is?
Map the strategy of free agency.
It's not NFL free agency for dummies necessarily. It's free agency for dumb Dave specifically. All right, synthesize it for us. Give us some things to look for, some clues that we may not fully grasp if we didn't thrive in pre-algebra and beyond.
First of all, my ponytail is under the visor. This is, for all the females listening, that's a pretty amazing feat. Kind of hurts.
Crushed it.
So basically, when you're looking at...
You're like Chris Everett circa 77. Continue.
Thank you. Is that the one Sweet Child of Mine was written about?
Chris Everett Lloyd had a song by Axl Rose written about her? What?
Some like fantasy thing. Like there was like some rumor that it was like, I don't know. Who was it about? What am I wrong about? Set me straight.
I don't know what you're talking about now.
Maybe it was.
Stick to your numbers, sister.
Maybe
Go.
It was.
No. I'm sure I'm wrong now. But whatever. I'm sure I'll hear about it on Twitter. okay. So what you want to look at is, first of all, if you look at like where people came from, the strategy, all the stuff, almost half of what you see people report is like posturing, right? So a lot of reporters right now are getting like used to help drive, kind of test the waters and negotiate. So you may hear something floating, something sources say, blah,
inside,
blah,
inside, I know this is inside baseball, ironically, since we're talking about football, but what you're getting at is, and this is kind of known and I've talked about it, there are different kinds of the breaking news reporter types.
Right.
We have Rap Sheet here. We have James Palmer. We have a handful of other
people. Mike Carafolo. Yeah.
These guys do that. They all are tied in, and it depends on who you're speaking about. But some of these guys get most of their information from agents.
So
some of them get them from inside the organization, right?
So I would argue if they're on our network, you're probably good. But like if they're like certain people that like on not big, I mean, if they're on ESPN, they're on NFL Network, you can believe that that's something someone's at least floating out there. But then there are like beat reporters and all these people who sometimes they get fed information from, you know, an agent or, and they're kind of like being kind of pawns and like a negotiation tool, because if I say, oh, there's so much interest in Trumaine Johnson, for example, the Rams cornerback, there's been, you know, a lot of speculations that he'll be traded, and then there's all these rumors, and like somehow that gets back to the other people in the trade partner. They're gonna think, oh my goodness, everybody wants him. Oh, you know, they're just trying to drive markets. But it's, I'm not saying they're trying to do that, but like in general,
I love it. I love that $1 billion operation comes down to dumb Dave or someone in my seat saying like, I heard this.
No, it's like they're trying to. They're trying.
Who are we gonna get paid? Let's get somebody paid today, Dave.
No, right. They're trying. Whether it works or not depends on who you're dealing
Could
with.
Could I be charged with a fraud felony or anything? Because if not, then I want to do it. I want to start trying
sources
to.
Sources say.
Fraud felonies are the least important type of felony.
Sources. Oh, sources. Just to be like, sources
you can
say.
Be president.
I've heard a couple of actually interesting ones. And
right.
That's about it. That's all I'm going to say on it.
Because exactly.
I'm classy.
Exactly. But
all right, so go ahead. So these numbers, unlike every other major sport out there, the NFL obviously doesn't guarantee giant chunks of the money, and that's why they can wiggle out from under contracts. Organizations can part ways with guys because of that phony money.
Right. So if you have, let's think about your Monopoly money is $167 million. That's your cap for the year. Now, there's dead space in the cap, which means, so for example, Peyton Manning's contract didn't all hit in 1 year, so they could amortize it, meaning they could spread it out over a certain number of years, and then that's a dead cap space. So instead of your 167, now you're playing with $150 million Monopoly money in this case. So your accounting methods aren't necessarily one-to-one with your the actual thing that you see reported on a wire. Like someone claiming that they're getting 50, like, you know, when, if the deal is for, like Brock Osweiler's deal was for something crazy, like $72 million or something like that, and only this much is guaranteed.
So I got you. So how does, explain this one to people out there, because people will invariably weigh in on this stuff, even to me. I'm sure you get hit with it times
weigh
a thousand.
In. Bring it.
Tom Brady amends his contract.
Yep.
In a team-friendly way every year. How does he see to it that he still winds up getting his loot?
Okay. So there's...
Because every big-time QB does this now.
Yep.
If you aside from Peyton Manning, ironically, didn't he infamously always refuse to never give up a dime that was promised him?
No, I didn't know that. I didn't know that part.
Okay. Maybe
I'm
wrong.
All I know is, like, the overall strategy is... So there's a signing bonus... So your signing bonus is like everyone who has a job, you get a job, they get a signing bonus. We work here, probably don't get a – whatever it is, wherever you work, you get a signing – you could get a signing bonus.
In theory.
And then the rest is your salary. And then a certain percent of your salary is like if you play 16 games, then you get this much. If you play 16 games and you go to the Super Bowl, you get this much. And so it's oftentimes the number that's reported on is this like very large number that's if you hit all these different incentives in your contract. So you have your signing bonus plus that, and then they're like $72 million a year. So maybe, you know, for Brock Osweiler, maybe like $2 million of that was a signing bonus, and then the rest gets spread out over a certain amount of time. But if you don't hit those incentives, you never see that money.
Okay. Explain then how the Patriots seem to always be in a position to add free agents annually. Why isn't – and other teams are good at working the cap. What is so tricky? What's so elusive about it intellectually that all 32 teams aren't able to figure out the same stuff?
Well, I'm going to add something in here. So first of all, they're very disciplined. They don't, when you see the Patriots, they're not, they're like, see ya if we don't want someone. They're not going to what they set a market for the people that they want, and they don't overpay. Part of that is like the, because they're winning, there's like a nice self-fulfilling prophecy that's like, well, we want to go to a winner. Teams, you know, Tom Brady wants to keep winning, and I want to keep working with Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels and all these things. So they make it so that the contracts reflect the want to be there and the want to win. So it's a disciplined strategy. So ultimately what they're doing is they're setting a market and they're staying true to it. And then if you go past it, they're not going to drive you up with any tricks. You're not going to see them pay someone $21 million a year for something, right? Like, remember that, you know, I guess maybe the Washington Redskins, the Albert Haynesworth contract is one that people always look to as one that didn't work out, right? So you wouldn't see, you wouldn't see the Patriots setting the market for any player at any position. You don't see that happening.
But also, the whole house of cards wouldn't be possible if Tom wasn't willing to make those concessions.
Correct.
And so I think what Dave's trying to figure out is, how's Tom getting his money?
Tom Brady, the point is, Tom Brady is not some selfless soul who's like, hey, listen,
no,
like,
if he gets me an extra pass signing bonus. He gets it in his signing bonus.
Okay.
Which does not hurt.
When you see his annual salary, it's a little bit different than his signing bonus, right?
Well, again, that returns me to the question. So why doesn't every team do that? Why, if you have a franchise QB who you're into.
Because you have to be liquid enough to do it. You have to have the right, like, so you have to have the money to be able to do it. And if you haven't been disciplined with your cap strategy leading up to that point, you don't have the ability to do that.
And so it's been 20 years since they've been killing themselves to try to spend money to win.
Right.
And so since they don't have to do that anymore,
they're like Warren Buffett, and then and other teams are like people who.
So it's like an example of capitalism itself. if you have the privilege and opportunity to have this money in the first place.
If you
one team that's unlikely,
hey,
although
see, it's America.
Here's what's confusing. America. Here's what's confusing. So the Steelers are apparently, according to our pal Aditi Kinkabwala, figure to be more active than they generally are in free agency. Of course, if you look at the raw number, they're already up against it. So where is the wiggle room for, let's say, the Pittsburgh Steelers to go and get somebody? And the second question I have that has nothing to do with that, well, I mean, they're related because they're both about dollars and cap and all that. The Antonio Brown deal makes sense to me. It's good. I'm glad they have Le'Veon Bell coming back. The assumption, and in fact, the word you hear, is that Pittsburgh is working on a long-term deal with Le'Veon Bell.
They better be.
Do you think
they better
are?
Be.
Do they you really?
Better be.
Why do you say better be? In a world that has running backs aplenty in the draft, why would you marry yourself to a guy who has been as dominant as he's been, has also been injury-prone, and in fact has gotten himself into trouble I don't
so
really
Adrian,
care about,
Adrian,
but trouble nevertheless by the rules of the league.
Adrian Peterson used to set the running back market. He blew it away with like $18 million a year. You saw him not get the end of it being released. That doesn't mean he didn't get all of the money that was first reported about him with Adrian Peterson. The next highest paid running back as of right now, I believe, is LeSean McCoy at $8 million. So you see that's like almost half, right? So if you're looking at like, okay, and it's all like real estate. How much do I pay my running back? Well, I think I have a running back that's, you know, how much do I pay for my house? Well, I look to see the comparables. And if the comparables say $8 million is the highest paid running back, and I think I'm going to reset the market, and now we don't have Adrian Peterson's crazy contract in there, they could set the market at $10 million, which is not a lot considering a wide receiver is around $15 million.
Man, I'd be the worst.
Right?
I'd be the worst at this. I would be of no value in that.
But here's what I'm going to tell you. Oh, we got another one. Let's hear.
Who we got?
All right, guys. So a few.
Is this a good one? I want to know if this is exciting. Emma VP gives it a sort of a meh kind of face.
She gives it about a 6. So actually, we've got a few news and notes here that have come out with signing. Let's start here. Ian Rappaport, NFL Media Insider. Ian Rappaport.
It's nice to have somebody else report this to me, by the way.
Is saying that the Browns will, in fact, planning on cutting Brock Osweiler. So well, that was rumor, but Ian Rappaport's confirmed that will happen. Also, Ravens running back Kenneth Dixon suspended 4 games.
What?
For PED. We also have
boy, they were all set based on, at least if you believe John Harbaugh a week ago, they seemed ready to just build the whole thing around Kenneth Dixon.
And then we also have Micah Hyde. He is heading to Buffalo.
Buffalo.
What is with the where do you see the 2017 Packers as they sit right here and now?
You know what I think the Packers should do? They should trade Randall Cobb now, because I think I think they can do better and still get value for him because he's next year's Victor Cruz. That's my hot take.
Randall, interesting.
He's in the State Farm commercials. He's riding shotgun. I think Randall's going to stick around.
I think he should. I think they should. I think that he'll stick around. But I think if I were them, what I might look at.
Are they in a little bit of trouble though, based on their losses? Now it seems like they're that they're not adding. They never add.
The secondary needed help, and they're losing it.
Maybe they think that they can. I'm sure they have a plan. They have one of the best front offices that I around. So I'm sure they have a plan. I don't think they're getting like misled, or you know, I don't think they're losing. I think that this is probably what they're planning. Whether or not it works or not is a different story, but it's what they're planning. But I think the thing that's more interesting was when you saw the Mike Glennon news cross, that you saw Aaron Rodgers went on a radio show and said basically like, let's talk about my contract now, bro. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be interesting.
I want to hear the horn for what I'm about to say because it's a hot take.
Oh.
This is reacting to. Are you ready?
Yes.
I'm not really putting anything behind it. I'm just going to use a vague superlative.
Okay.
I feel like that this Mike Glennon move is a good one by the Chicago Bears. I like the deal. I like Mike Glennon. I think he's fine. I don't think he's I don't think he's a world beater.
The praise is rolling in from Mike Glennon.
I'm telling you, because everybody's making a joke about it. I think this is a good move for them. I think Jay Cutler's the greater talent, but by the end of the day, with everything around it,
what?
I think this is at worst a wash for the Bears, and maybe a mild upgrade. Mike Glennon is not atrocious.
If we could get that all put on a plaque and put on a trophy for Mike Glennon.
Mike Glennon was dropped in on the Buccaneers in a dysfunctional situation. You'll remember what was happening there with Josh Freeman, and then he had to take over, and he never got a full run at the gig, and this team was not where it is now. I wonder what Mike Glennon was fine in relief.
Mentioning Josh Freeman there, because
I don't think he's terrible.
It's something that I haven't thought about, because we're willing to go back at 2013 and look at that and say, well, looking at 2013, if you extrapolate, you could say that Mike Glennon is going to be good. Why don't people do that for Josh Freeman?
Why don't people do that for Josh Freeman?
Yeah.
Well, because Josh Freeman had his stuff going on the off the field. That's what ran him out of football. It's not his performance on the field.
It seems like we're reaching to try to. And
yes,
I love it.
Because that I goes back to my statement, one of my wiser statements in the last half dozen years or questions. In a world of 7 billion people, how can it be so difficult to find 32 humans to successfully play pro football at quarterback? And the answer is, it's obviously very difficult because we can't even really get to 20. Right. And given that reality, Mike Glennon's fine. That's not a crazy thing to pay him $15 million.
Why do we reach for Mike Glennon, but there's so many other people that we don't do that
for? Well, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders just reached on one Vince Young, who shares a name with the guy from Texas who won the Heisman Trophy, and they played for the
– Why not?
That's the same guy?
I just wish everybody got treated the same as Mike Glennon. That's all I want. If we could all be as fair to everybody else as we are to Mike Glennon, that would be cool.
My Mike Glennon, I mean, I think people kind of forget, because I don't remember seeing him play very much recently. Like, he's, like, really tall. Like, it's just a different – like, I guess my – he's the same height as – well, I think actually he's a quarter of an inch taller than Brock Osweiler, and the same as Paxton Lynch. Like, it's an interesting kind of those big tall guys. Mm-hmm. And the cool thing, or the interesting thing here, is that Bears O line is most of the time tackles are paid more than guards. Just 32 teams or 30 teams have tackles paid more than guards. In the case of Ryan Pace and the Bears, at least last year, I haven't rechecked now with all of the different things. Last year, their guards were paid more than the tackles, which is a strategy he adopted from the Saints. The Saints have a different sort of quarterback, Drew Brees, who's actually not as tall and he can get away from someone running after him, right? He can escape the pocket. He's very mobile. So it's an interesting, to me, like potentially incongruent strategy,
right?
If you have tackles who are, and I'm not saying payment is the exact proxy for how good you are, but if you're using it as a proxy for how good you are, it's kind of an inside out it's an incongruent strategy. So to me, that's an interesting one. We'll see. But the one thing I have heard about Mike Glennon that I didn't hear about Paxton Lynch or Brock Osweiler or anything is that everyone in the locker room loves him. He's a locker room dude. I've heard nothing but like glowing reports.
See, that's nice. My hypothesis has been since day one, the reason people aren't hipper on Mike Glennon is because of the punim. He doesn't look like an NFL. He doesn't look like a leading man.
Does Brock Osweiler look like that? Yes, Brock Osweiler does look like that.
He looks like somebody who could sit on a bench for 4 years and get $14 million.
Mike Glennon doesn't have the face of a leading man.
I'm looking at it right now.
This trips people up more than they'd be willing to admit.
$14 million to me.
You'll wait and see.
But people love him. They love him. The other players love him. There's something to be said for that.
He's got to be a really nice person.
That's true. And listen.
I wonder what he's going to get for a present for his O-line. You know, like they give him all presents every year. I wonder what he's going to get him. Maybe it'll be like subscription to the Dave Damashek podcast.
Kyle Long raved about what a good guy Cuddy was. They were friends. They would watch Game of Thrones together. Cuddy would pick up a pizza and a rotisserie chicken and bring it over to Kyle Long's
house. Who doesn't love a good rotisserie chicken? Yeah.
So goodbye, Jay Cutler. I'm sure that's sad for Kyle Long. What else? So I think the Bills, I keep saying it, but I think the Bills are going to be much improved. Of course, the ceiling is the roof in the AFC East so long as Tom Brady is there. You know, that's obviously going to restrict how high they can soar. But I do like that team, and I like the Miami Dolphins. Any word on these rumors about Jarvis Landry?
What did you hear?
Just that he's being shopped around. What do you know? You think he's on the move? Look at that.
You guys got Freeland. All this information that I don't have.
Cindy Freeland knows something, and she doesn't want to say it. This is the place
Cindy
to say
Freeland
it, sister.
Would like to report that Anthony Fasano is now a tight end with the Dolphins.
Don't give me jive about Anthony Fasano.
They've got Julius Thomas and Anthony Fasano. Their tight ends are locked up.
Couple of things. Here's another random thought for you. One, the quiet strength of the Cincinnati Bengals during the Hugh Jackson era and just prior to that was the offensive line. They had depth. They had high-end talent, at least based on pedigree. I'm basing that off of. Like most of you, I do not pretend that I can evaluate quality offensive line play by an individual. You really have to sit there and break that down. However, the results speak for themselves. It fell off last year, not coincidentally. So, too, did the Cincinnati Bengals on the whole. Now they lose two more pieces. They lose two pieces from that offensive line now. They are a year further removed from Hugh Jackson. This Cincinnati Bengals team is in trouble. And I think the Cleveland Browns may well even vault them in 2017. How say you, Patrick Claiborne?
It's not out of the question. The Bengals.
Gio Bernard, as if to support my theory here, tweeted out a sad face.
Yeah, well, it was the face with the zipper over the mouth.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, as if like, to say, means, like, yeah, like, I can't say anything, but this sucks. I mean, really, for a guy like Gio, who's been hurt.
There's your quiet stinker in the AFC this year coming, the Cincinnati Bengals.
What happened with all the, like, A.J. McCarron talk? Like, I thought he was, like, the little quarterback that people want.
Now I'm not going to say they need to flip him, but they should endeavor to flip him and turn him into something at this point, right?
If somebody's willing to make that move.
Well, unless Andy Dalton is the one who you say goodbye to and reboot with A.J. McCarron, if there's somebody out there. Obviously, if we've learned anything, there are plenty of teams desperate for a QB.
Yeah.
I think if people are willing to do some of the stuff we're seeing for these other guys, you would do the same thing for Andy Dalton, right?
Can I ask you a question, Dave?
I think Cindy Freeland is ready to say that Andy Dalton may be moved this offseason.
I don't think so.
No, you don't.
I think A.J. McCarron.
You do think
I think McCarron, that they'd be smart to flip that. See what they could get for him.
In a world where Dalton leaves the Bengals, would you rather have him or Kirk Cousins, Dave?
Kirk Cousins.
Check.
Really? Kirk Cousins has the big arm. When all things are, you know, to me, I always like.
What's Andy Dalton's nickname?
I don't care what his nickname is. The BB gun.
They don't give people, like, the nickname of any sort of rifle.
Andy Dalton does not have a big arm just because he had red hair and it went nicely with a red rifle.
I mean, I don't think he.
He has at best a mediocre NFL arm, perhaps subpar.
You think Andy Dalton has a subpar NFL arm?
Like, yeah, I at best, like I said.
Do you think Matthew Stafford has a subpar NFL arm?
You think Andy Dalton and Matthew Stafford have comparable arm
talent? I'm trying to gauge, like, who you think has a big arm.
Matt Stafford,
Does Jay Cutler have a big arm?
Yes,
so certainly. By your logic, you'd rather Jay Cutler than Kirk Cousins.
No, see, now
– transitive property.
No. Now you're trying to – catch me. I'm just saying that if – I'm trying to think of who we started to compare.
That's you. That's what you said.
No. I would rather have Kirk Cousins than Andy Dalton is all I said.
Why? Because of his arm.
Kirk Cousins is – they strike me as similar human
beings.
Is
it the looks, Dave? Is it the looks?
Dave is anti-ginger.
I don't know if Cousins –
are you looking
is over
the
Andy Dalton in the looks
Kirk
department.
Kirk Cousins does look a little bit more like a cherub than –
Is Cousins more handsome than Andy Dalton?
Yes. He's hands down more handsome.
I will side with Cynthia.
That does not make him a better or worse quarterback. It just means he's better looking.
I think their skill sets are comparable. Kirk Cousins has the stronger arm. No? Well, how is that crazy? In what world is it crazy that I would say I would take Kirk Cousins over Andy Dalton?
I'm interested to look at the metrics.
The world that's crazy is that you think that Andy Dalton and Kirk Cousins are – you're debating who's better looking. That's what I'm
– I was just wondering if it was a fact.
Kirk Cousins is without question more handsome than Andy Dalton is what you're saying.
A nominee for most overused Sheck bit.
MVP has interesting thoughts on this subject sometimes. MVP, who's more handsome, Kirk Cousins or the Red Rifle?
Kirk Cousins.
By far.
Easy? Is it easy? Is it not even a question?
It's a Twitter.
It's like a slight question, but he's definitely more handsome.
Who would you rather have as your QB?
Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, that's not logo.
Disclaimer, I'm a Steelers fan.
Well, that's not – you don't have to file that.
You don't have to file that.
I think that's neither here nor there.
204C filed as a Steelers.
Now, let's talk about Los Angeles, which now is home to not one but two pro football teams. I think that, one, the Rams did well to get Andrew Whitworth. One of the quieter busts of the last decade, at least, is Greg Robinson. People fell all over themselves when this guy was coming out. What a remarkable specimen this guy is. He's going to dominate. He's not just going to be a great left tackle. This guy is destined for the Hall of Fame in good health. He's going to dominate, so on and so forth. He has been a tremendous bust. And now maybe you kick him to the right or whatever, but that should shore up the offensive line at least a little bit for the Rams. But like I say, they downgrade, in my book, from Kenny Britt to Robert Woods. I don't get the Robert Woods signing on any level. What do you get out of that? What's the point of Robert Woods? What's he ever done to make him worth that kind of loot? $39 million?
Yeah, that's belief in your scheme.
I know, but it's 15 of it's guaranteed and so on. Now, as for LA's other pro football team, I like the way they're operating because they do seem more disciplined. They don't seem to be giving in to the narrative that you got to make a splash if you move to Los Angeles. They're just keeping what they already got for the most part. Now, they parted ways with some name guys, but guys who I think we would all agree were probably, you know, riding on their name value rather than their performance in 2016. And if they can just avoid being – the 2016 Chargers, which is to say, you know, basically who went through pro football's version of a red wedding. If they can avoid that, then I think this team contends in the AFC West this season. How say you, Freeland?
Well,
I love what they could do in the pass rush.
Agreed. I mean, if you also look I think the thing we're kind of forgetting is that they get Keenan Allen back, which is —
that's what I'm saying —
a huge get.
Denzel Perriman returns. I mean, all over the place. They're going to be getting Melvin Ingram with Joey Bosa now. I mean, yikes what they could potentially be.
Right. And I think it'll be interesting to see that, like, who they draft, what their strategy is there. I think that they're one of the teams that I've thought have been very – again, they've been shown a lot of discipline this offseason. They seem to have a strategy. Whether it works or not will remain to be seen and who stays healthy, but I think that they're in a good spot.
And I think, honestly, when you look at the move, because we just recently were able to see the Rams and how the move process went and see in-depth into it with Hard Knocks, I think they're doing better than them in all forms.
I agree. You know what? It's funny because that's as I'm speaking, that's exactly what was running through my head. Boy, the Rams, the one thing that they have going for them for excuses is, well, hey, that move, man. You don't want to have to move your franchise. It's awfully hard. But what if the Chargers go double-digit wins this year? Then they don't have any excuse. Then what's Les Snead and everybody else hanging their hat on why it didn't work out?
I think it is something to be said to something like, you know, moving from St. Louis here as opposed to, like, you know, you're not moving your family that far if you're going from San Diego to L.A. So I do think that that's a pretty – I do think, like, everyone I've talked to –
You're using the time zone excuse?
No, it's not a time zone. It's like a – can we go up and look for apartments or do we have to fly out and like do it all in 5 minutes? You know what I mean? Like I think there's a lot to be said. And also the Rams are very young. I think that, you know, I saw some really cool thing that we had on, I can't remember which show it was on, Total Access or whatever, but there's only like two players that are older than Sean McVay who just turned 31. And we're like, oh, he's so young. So you have to remember, not only is it moving, but it's moving people who are already young, a very young team. So that was, to me, the Rams, like, that's a real young team. They're moving a lot. That to me, was a little different.
All right. Well, I mean, bottom line for me is, I think, you know, that they're a question or two on the offensive line for the Chargers, legitimately. But if they can amend that a little bit in free agency and then in the draft, I think that team's ready to rise up there in the tough West there. Now, the big question is, speaking of the AFC West, Tony Romo. I say here and now he is not going to be on the Denver Broncos. I know Peyton Manning with the bad neck in the advanced age did make it for a few years there and punctuated it with the Lombardi Trophy a couple years ago. But it just doesn't make sense for Tony Romo, as brittle as he is, to go to Denver, Colorado, where it is cold, or at least it was until Al Gore invented global warming or whatever. Oh, wait, no, that is real, as it turns out.
Well, not according to the United States government.
No, but I mean, you know, to rational people.
Yeah.
People get that. But anyway, I think it still gets cold there in December and January. It doesn't make sense on that level. The state of the offensive line, unless, you know, wildly fixed up, I don't know what assurances John Elway. This thing about, like, John Elway gets it because he's a quarterback, so he'll know how to talk to Tony Romo. Like, all right, well, Tony Romo, I mean.
Is it a different language?
Not that susceptible to what to being wooed by John Elway. I played quarterback too. Well, then I got to go to wherever you want to. I mean, the offensive line doesn't look good. How are they going to tell Romo, oh, yeah, we're definitely going to fix this thing up as soon as you do. The Texans are the place for him to go. I think the Texans are where he will be. Maybe by the time you're listening to this, he'll already be on the Houston Texans, or I'll have egg on my face. However, the Broncos' apparent pursuit, and, you know, there's enough noise to validate that they have some interest in Tony Romo. Talk about busts. Very quietly, it's only 1 year, but what's going on with Paxton Lynch? Remember, everybody was so hip on Paxton Lynch a year ago, and Jerry Jones lamented not taking him when he had a chance, winds up with Dak Prescott. But Paxton Lynch, like, what's going on? Why is he not ready to roll? This is the 21st century. If you draft a quarterback in the first round, the assumption is, oh, he's going to be ready to go in his sophomore year. Apparently not so in Paxton Lynch's case.
Dave, they got to try to win, man.
What are you talking about, try to win? Teams that put in a quarterback win, in a rookie or something. The Cowboys did all right with their rookie QB.
Well, yeah, they had Trevor Siemian. They felt like he was in a better position to get them wins, and they had the defense already in place. They were coming off a Super Bowl win. I'm just saying it's kind of unfair to Paxton, man, to crush him after
not
playing.
So here's another thing.
Why are the Broncos so interested in getting somebody else to come in there?
Because
anybody but Paxton, apparently.
So you remember when, like, obviously they picked really low in the draft, and with the rookie pay scale, if you're kind of smart to, like, pick a quarterback in that first round, because if he does turn out to be the man, then you get him for a fifth year as opposed to having to pay him after the fourth year. So on some level, maybe it's a strategy decision to say, okay, we think we can get the number one and number two guys that we want for our team with where we're picking in the first two rounds. So it is smarter to pick it in the first
round.
All right.
You could say that, but do you think if you could go get into the time machine, or more importantly, John Elway could get in the time machine and go back to the draft, would he still take Paxton Lynch, or would he instead get an offensive lineman?
But that's every team. Every single team on this planet would go – well, not every pick, but they would go back and be like, yeah, I could have done that one better. There's always one that they – like, no one's perfect at picking, right? They're, like, if everyone was perfect at draft picking, it would be very different
And I think it goes to the point.
But that's two different things, though. Because if Paxton Lynch was as good as they thought he was going to be, then he would be. They would be saying right now, yeah, Paxton's our guy going into 2017. He's ready to roll. Has a year under his belt, learned at the knee for the most part from Trevor Siemian, but now it's Paxton's team. You don't hear anything about Paxton Lynch. You know, Siemian might get traded elsewhere. And they might not wind up with Romo, and then all of a sudden it is Paxton Lynch. And what's the message to that guy at this point?
Hey, man, this guy might be going.
We did everything to not have you be our starter. But well, here we are, Paxton. Go get him, fella.
I think it plays into what you were saying about speaking the quarterback language. I think the argument that you could make for Romo and John Elway is John Elway can say to Tony Romo, "Tony, this is the plan that we have. I followed the plan. I'm John freaking Elway. I'm bulletproof. I'm not going to get fired."
That works well. That didn't work out. That doesn't work out as well for the Lakers when they try that. Like, well, we're the Lakers. You should come be here. We did a lot of good stuff.
But what I'm saying is, John Elway can say, "Do you trust my John Elway Super Bowl champion plan, or do you trust Rick Smith's plan?"
But last year this time, would you have ever even thought Tony Romo would be available? Because last year this time, you did not know who once we had kind of the teams in place, you did not think Dak Prescott came out of nowhere, right?
All right, I'm beating a dead horse.
Because the point is,
which
like,
is good since we're talking about a Broncos.
There we go.
I didn't mean to.
Boom. Gotcha, John.
Maybe I'm beating the dead horse though, but again.
What about a live one?
Tony Romo is an imperfect solution if you're the Denver Broncos. He's 36. He's brittle. You don't have a good offensive line.
That's assuming there is a perfect solution. You have to deal with the solutions potentially available to you. It's not like they can say, you know what, we want Tom Brady. Let's go do that. You know, like
right. Like, if so they could get Tom Brady, then of course, all right, Paxton Lynch, learn from 12. Hey, Tony Romo may or may not make it. We may or may not deal Siemian. If all our other attempts to have a good quarterback fail, you're our guy.
You started this argument by saying that there's not 32 people who are good enough to be what you would hope they would be as starters in this league, right? So you have to create a solution based on the available options that you have to you. And again, who knew Tony Romo was going to be available? Like who knew what would go on with that? So I guess to me, it's like, well, maybe now they're thinking, okay, we'll push Paxton out one more year. Well, maybe we'll deal Siemian. You've heard potential for that situation to happen. Then we'll give, you know, Paxton Lynch a chance to learn from Tony Romo, because learning from Trevor Siemian is different than learning from Tony.
Let's round it out with this. The Bills wind up with Micah Hyde, like we say.
I think he's pretty versatile.
Boye to the Jags. I'm reading through it. DeSean Jackson confirmed to the Bucks now. Revis is now loose. We'll see if anybody grabs him. I can't imagine any team's going to pay him the $8 million that he's expressed he wants to play another season there, but we'll see if he lands. I wouldn't mind as a Pittsburgh Steelers fan to see him wind up back in Pittsburgh. They've had precious few of those. It's always a nice story when the local kid from Aliquippa, it'd be great to see him do that, but not for $8 million, but if he's willing to take a sweetheart deal to finish things off in the black and gold and end his pro career in Heinz Field where he started as a Pitt Panther, that would sure be fun. But let's go real fast here. Ooh, Manti Te'o going to the Saints. I like that because that makes sense.
A trade?
No. He's visiting the Saints. I'm sorry if I misstated that. Yes, he's visiting the Saints, but I like that because it's – saint equals afterlife. And, you know, Manti Te'o likes those kind of things. Nice. You know, he likes ghosts and stuff like that.
Notre Dame.
New Orleans.
Mystical connection there.
Well, New Orleans, too. You know, those graveyards. Those things are haunted, too, in New Orleans. He'll love it there. Oh, my God.
Someday I'm going to have to tell you that one of my goals in life, and it's a very similar story. I'd like to actually be.
Do you know what bums me out? I pitched right after Terrell Owens didn't get into the Hall of Fame. I pitched around to the bosses. Let me go out shopping with T.O. and we'll shop at a high-end men's fashion store for a gold jacket. And they said, nah, let's not do that. And then T.O. goes and does it
huge missed opportunity.
I know. That would have been funny. All right, let's round it up with this. Where's Colin Kaepernick playing in 2017? Whoa, we got one.
Got one here as we're trying to.
Is it Cap?
We're working around it. It is not Cap. This is big news out of New England area. Boston Globe reporting. Julian Edelman and Adriana Lima have split. Friend of DDIP.
Oh, my God. Julian Edelman sat here and told her she was a great lady and great lover and everything else just like 2-3 weeks ago. Julian Edelman.
Okay.
You don't care?
Nope.
What is it? Well, you don't care?
I mean, I actually, so I have a theory of I'd like to be blissfully ignorant. Like, I like to think everyone's really, really good. So if you don't know, like, much about them, then you can, like, imagine that they're kind of good, right? So don't want to know good or bad anything. Just rather just watch them play football.
So you know something bad?
No.
About Adrian Lima?
No, I'm sure they're great. But the problem is you have to take the bad with the good. So if you know something good about someone, like, oh, they're dating, this is great. Right. You also, then you're leaving yourself open to know something bad.
I like to know everything.
I don't.
Because then when somebody sucks, I can know that they suck, and then I don't have to care about them anymore.
Oh, it's you're saying it's because she wants children. Lima wants kids. Yeah. Edelman doesn't.
TMZ is reporting that, yes.
Lima's like, let's make a
baby. They've got inside information.
Edelman says no. I'm not ready to. I'm not ready for another generation.
I have a little bit of Julian Edelman fatigue right now. To be honest, coming out of the Super Bowl, I could
You hear about his catch he made in that Super Bowl?
Yeah.
He made a catch in the Super Bowl?
I could use less Julian.
I should go back and watch that.
It was a good one. Don't you dare talk that way about my friend Julian.
Julio's catch was better in every capacity. It was the best catch of that Super Bowl.
See, now you want to make me – I was about to end the show, and instead you want to open up a conversation
that's
completely subjective conversation.
Why argue facts?
And that's where I
To pick our favorite like free agent – thing so move so far?
We're going to. Colin Kaepernick is playing where, Cindy?
Nowhere.
Nowhere?
Backing someone up.
Okay, fine.
He's
Where's
backup.
His backup? Joe Starkey of the the Trib in Pittsburgh.
Joe Mixon is going to be on
the radio
NFL
show
roster,
I go on.
Colin Kaepernick
and I'm not.
Won't.
Right.
Will you,
and that's,
Cindy?
That's it. That's all.
Real talk. Will, if, what? Let's say you're Lions who could use a running back. What if they take Joe Mixon? Will you support this move?
Nope.
You won't like that.
Nope.
Claybon, where do you come down on the moralizing of that?
No, I mean that just what I said, that I believe that Cap might not be on a team for simply saying things, and Joe Mixon will be on a team. That's all you
if
need
he's
to know
sitting
about the
there,
moral status of the National Football.
As names, when people recognize, as teams start taking running backs off the board, and you get into that place where it's not even
close.
Not when you're talking Dalvin Cook or when you get into the places, when it starts to get there and you're like, well, clearly Joe Mixon is a better football player than that running back that just went off the board in the third round and fourth round, someone's going to get scutchy and someone's going to draft him. And it's funny, not funny, haha, but the way that these things go, the conversation is now not on the moral –
nope.
The morality for morality's sake of having Joe Mixon on your team. Rather, what team is going to say, this is going to be a PR nightmare for us, and we're ready to deal with that. Yeah. Like that, it's not really about, it's not really about, like, we don't like that he did what he did to a woman. Rather, we can manage our way around that or not. Is kind of missing the point of it, and I'm kind of with you, Sid.
I believe in second chances. I believe in being given the
darkness.
Opportunity to. I believe in getting the opportunity to be better as a human being. I know I've done things wrong in my past. When I was 20, I would like not to be judged on everything that I've done wrong as well. However, it's an opportunity, not a right to play in the NFL. Right. And in just the same way that some teams going to draft him, that's great, good for them, or you know whatever they want to do. That I have the same right to be like, eh.
Yeah.
Over it.
And you can
agree.
If to me there's no difference if you say, well, we drafted him in the fifth round, so that's not
as
bad. If he's on your team, he's on your team.
And I loved how yesterday we listened to all the Oklahoma.
Right, that's what it turns into is this value assessment.
Right.
Like,
that's
well,
not
yeah,
what
but
the
we had to.
About.
I mean, it was the sixth round. What did you want us to do? Yeah. Like either have a hard and fast
I think
in a way I'd almost have respect you more if you're like, well, of course, he has a first round grade, so we're taking him in the first round instead of like, well, what did you expect us to do now?
Right.
Because optics is the dumbest thing in the world
that
we care about. It's like, well, you know, it might look like how do you feel about this?
Right.
What's the statement that you want to make about this?
Mm-hmm.
And then we go off of that.
Right.
But this idea that's like, oh, well, we have to do this because people might feel.
Right. Then it's a business decision that what you're then saying to the fan base in the world is, well, we didn't like the risk involved in taking a guy who has this nasty past with a first round pick and paying him that and everything else. But with a six-round pick, low risk for us, and we'll deal with the mess that may or may not come.
My last thought on this is that I think that you have to like, I understand that anything that happened to Oklahoma is not really anything to do with the NFL. But, like, there is a bunch of kids who are graduating from Oklahoma and looking for jobs, and they're going to go look for a lot of jobs, and it's going to be hard to find jobs. It's hard coming out of college to find a job. It's very hard to come out of college, find a job that pays you $400,000 guaranteed. And I think that if you look at those kind of things and you look at what are you valuing here and why are you valuing it, like, I'd rather give someone a job that to be an intern for me for, you know, like something like that. Then
I understand there's a difference between Joe Mixon's talent and some other guys, but there happen to be enough human beings that can do it successfully.
Or there's 31 other teams that decide not to.
Right.
That's
kind of how I feel. Why do you want that?
Lions still want me to be a fan, please don't do it. I know you've met with him.
The bottom line is a great the word to apply to a team that is desperate. If you're that desperate
or you don't care. No, the word to apply is that
you don't care.
And I get it. You're trying to make money, and you don't want to be the GM that passed on this guy who became a 10-year, 2,000-yard rusher a year, whatever. Like, nope. Okay.
For my part, I would like to see Colin Kaepernick land with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I would love a change of pace kind of guy like that as a backup to Roethlisberger. What I want out of my backup, I've said it before, I'll say it again, isn't a guy who just who is a poor man's version of your starting QB, who can just come in and you take a little bit out of the playbook, but otherwise he's ready to roll. I like the curveball guy. I like a guy like, oh, you're prepared for this guy? Deal with that guy now. You didn't see him. It's like going you're the other team having an all righty lineup to handle your lefty, and then in the sixth inning, like, yeah, here you go. Now we're throwing a righty at you. What are you going to do with that?
Yep. And people talk regression. Cap's 2016 numbers were better than the 2013 numbers that people are going so crazy about for Mike Glennon.
Right.
So
I like Cap. I just think he's going to be a backup. I don't know.
I mean, there's no reason for him to be out of the league. See, I think RG3.
He's not going to be the starter somewhere, I don't think.
I think it's funny to me that there aren't teams out there that aren't seduced by what they saw from him at least enough. And the whole kneeling during the national anthem thing, which was an act of patriotism in my book.
You can do whatever, like, that's freedom of expression. Yeah. So
it's patriotism, right.
But apparently
when you combine that act with a public forum, it becomes patriotism.
Which is, it seems like it's easier for some people to rationalize beating a woman than it is to rationalize having a conversation about the things that Cap wanted to talk about last year.
Right. And by the way, I'll say it again, just because the feedback on it from Malcolm Jenkins and people beyond really enjoyed our conversation. We talked plenty of hooey and applesauce, but he's really a thoughtful guy and weighed in on all this stuff, Colin Kaepernick and beyond, and his personal protest with the Eagles. And we get into all of it. Chip Kelly, and he has some interesting thoughts about that. Dig that one up at NFL.com/DDFP if you'd be so kind and watch that. And thanks for the good feedback on that one. All right, that's it. Is that enough MVP for you? Bartlett,
yeah,
you're content with it? We didn't even mention your bum Chiefs.
He's good.
What about Romo to the Chiefs? That was one rumor we heard a week or so ago. You don't like that one? Talk about a slap in the face. Alex Smith. You're bringing in Romo, Andy Reid? Thought we were friends. All right, listen, we'll be back to put a bow on the first few days. See, I just let it go. I don't even acknowledge the music. I'm just talking, talking. Then you make it right behind the glass. All right, now you can play the music. I'll get it right here. Okay, Cynthia Freeland, Patrick Claibon, Ryan Bartlett, Emma VP, and you, the Czech Republic. The state of the Republic is strong. Let's keep it that way. Download, subscribe, all that jazz on iTunes, Stitcher, and beyond. We'll be back at the start of next week for you to put a bow on those first few days of free agency. Till then, it's been a thin slice of heaven.